Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Pamela Reese Wardlaw at the Preparation Room with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, where we worship and praise God and prepare the way for the Lord. Come on in and let's get this show started.
Well, welcome everyone to Build, Grow, and Enjoy, WIGO. Today's date is a very, very nice day, a good date. This is a day that's absolutely just a day of purpose, a day of just going forth. It is 11-1-11, 3 p.m. Atlanta, 12 p.m. San Diego. Lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709. Live chat, as always, BillGrownEnjoy.com. What time, everyone? Today, like I said, is a special day. It is the first Tuesday of the month, and as each of you know, each first Tuesday of every month here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy is a purpose-filled, uplifting, testimonial, preparing the way for the Lord. Miss Pamela Reese Wardlaw with the Preparation Room. And today, by popular demand, highly requested, Pamela and her special guests will be concluding a topic that was touched by many, and that's about our men and their faith. But before Pam gets to this exciting show she has for you all, I have a quick announcement I would like to say, because like I said before, today is an extremely, very, very, very special day. It's actually a milestone day here for Build, Grow, and Enjoy, and that's because today marks Build, Grow, and Enjoy's first year anniversary. I mean, what a coincidence. And what a journey it has been to see the lives that we have touched and the blessings that we are about to release to so many worldwide. Build, Grow, and Enjoy was a vision for me, as you all know, about 2 years ago, after just really being out there, you know, as a financial planner that took it upon myself, in addition to my business and job itself, to go out in the community and educate people financially to help create that wealth within our community. Well, while out there, I felt some real touching things, and you know, I just started taking notes and noticing that people were in huge need of, you know, financial guidance, education, spiritual teaching, to live that abundant and purpose-filled life that they were born to do. I mean, there were so many people just suffering and struggling, just hopeless. It was just absolutely sad. And, you know, that's what created the vision with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, just sitting down in prayer myself on, you know, how can we reach the masses and get everyone back on track, you know? And that's when it was funny that, you know, I'm sitting here praying for the answer, and the person that's on the air with me today on this very milestone day is the person that pushed me forward to come on the radio and do it. I would have never thought about it. Me on radio, I would never think of it. I was absolutely scared. I was like, please, Pam, girl, you tripping. Take that somewhere else. I had no clue. But it's just weird that, you know, it was a blessing. I prayed for it. It came. And like I said, on this milestone day here today, I'm on the air with the very person that was a mentor to me in radio, chase me down to make sure that this vision came to life, is here on here with her very popular and demanding show, The Preparation Room. And, you know, as she was, you know, preparing and guiding, you know, preparing and guiding people with her calling, she was also preparing me, and I had no clue about this. So it's just funny how things work in a really mysterious way. So I just want to let everyone know that testimony for today, because, you know, Amen. Today BGE is bigger than I ever imagined. I mean, I'm affiliated with four or more radio stations, major radio stations, with more to come. You know, I'm out speaking and teaching nationwide. We got cruises, speaking engagement, reality shows. I mean, it is just crazy. And the audience has grown to cover all of the East Coast. You know, people globally are reaching out to me and listening. I mean, people are listening. It has been built. It is out there. And, you know, you just got to be, you know, we're just here ready to bless others with the talents and skills that, you know, we have been blessed with, just going forth in His kingdom. So I just thought, like I said, that, you know, I just want to say thank you all for being a part of this journey with me. You know, I'm honored And Pamela, I just want to let you know on this very special day, because we all know how my first show was. It was my first show. But today we came a long way. And I just want to say you are an angel from above, and I love you. And today is truly a special day, a blessed one, and just thank you.
Yay. We give God the glory for that. We thank God for you, Felipe. You're such a special person, and I just thank God for using me at that time and still today to just be a blessing to you from him. And we could go on from there if you would like.
Definitely. So today you have a show for us, you know, part two of the last show we had on of our men and their faith. And today you have two very special guests on the air also, Pastor Terrell Fletcher and Minister Marin Ellis with City of Hope out here in San Diego where I'm at. You know, I went to their services. I went to check them out, and they were just absolutely awesome. Like I said, service was on fire, so... You know, welcome you guys. Welcome, and it's
welcome,
on to you, man. Let's get on with the show.
Yes.
Thank you all. Thank you, ladies, so much for having us. We appreciate you.
Well, we're going to start off first. We've got to always start off with honoring God. I want to see my partner, Annette. Is she on the line? Did Annette come on, Calithia?
Yeah, hey, I'm on, Pam. I'm here.
Okay, well, Annette is part of the preparation room. She's been with us from day one. But we also want to honor God with this, and we welcome the Holy Spirit in the midst of this time in our life. And we decree that any satanic force is a demonic force that try to come against this line in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus, and we cast you to the pits of hell. Now, we will get... a scripture read from Annette, and we would be honored if we could have Pastor Terrell to come in with a prayer for us after the scripture.
Absolutely.
Okay, I wanted to go to Genesis 2, and I wanted to go where God made, when he looked at man and he created woman. And I'm going to Genesis 2:15, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work. And he took care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good or evil, or you will eat of it or you will surely die. So when God said it's not good for man to be alone, and he made him a helper, so I'm reading 18, I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he had would name them all, and whatever the man called he every living creature, that was his name. And so the man gave name to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. And after, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed it up, the place with flesh. And when the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, for she has taken out of me, out of man. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and to be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Okay, so I'm going to leave it as there because this is the topic where we are talking about the men in the church, and this was read from the Living Bible.
Amen.
And you want to take it there with prayer.
Amen. We thank God so much for that. Now, the line is on you, Pastor Terry.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we bless you, and we just honor you for this great day. You said in the word that this is the day that you've made, and we declare that we're going to come into agreement with that word and rejoice in this day. Father, I pray for our conversation today that it will be fruitful, the way that Paul sat with the Epicureans, and they discussed philosophically about you and your ways. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today in the same manner. Let us be a conversation that is full of revelation from heaven, one that enlightens and challenges every listener. And Father, and I also pray for every person that is speaking today, that you would give us words that would speak life and that would challenge every man and every woman that would listen. God, this is not just about men, but it's about mankind. It's about the totality of who we are. You did not just give the assignment to a man. You gave it to mankind, both male and female. As we understand one another, we'll understand purpose in you. So we bless this time with you. We invite the Holy Spirit to just do what you do. Blow our minds, speak life to us, challenge us. And in this, we give you great praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just thank God for that prayer, for everything that you said. It is so, man of God, it is so.
Amen.
Right now, we just thank God for you being available. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Pastor Terrell?
Yes, yes, yes. I am Terrell Fletcher. I'm the senior pastor of the City of Hope International Church at Faith Chapel. We are located right here in San Diego, and I don't know what it's like out there on the East Coast, but I'm standing on my balcony right now with my flip-flops. So it is near perfect. I tell everybody that God lives in San Diego. He lives around the corner. That's why it's 82 every day. We are a multicultural church. We're thriving. We're moving. We're in our sixth year, and we just recently moved locations, and we're approximately about 1,000 members right now. And God has just been doing some great things. We are authentically born again. We're not any particular method or methodology or style. We are just people that have learned that our relationship is with the Holy Spirit and not with the denomination or with the person, but it's with God and it's with the Holy Spirit. So we take a lot of holy pride in the idea that every believer at our church is just who they are with God. We love the Lord. We let God express himself through us in unique and vibrant ways, and we've been able to help a lot of people in our community. And me and my wife, we've been at this thing for a little bit in ministry, over 12 years in private ministry, but 6 years pastoring. And we're just looking forward to seeing what the good Lord has for us moving forward.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have another minister on the line. His name is Minister Marion Ellis. Hello, Minister Marion Ellis. You're welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Pam?
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Just like Pastor Terrell said, I'm based here in San Diego, California, and again, it is a beautiful day. I am the CEO of MakingTheConnection.com, and then I also serve at City of Hope International with the youth ministry. But just a little bit, Making the Connection is a company that is a Christ-centered media organization. So we look to deliver the Word of God internationally in various realms of media, print, theater, film, audio, music, various ways. So that's our main goal, is to inspire people to find their vision, the vision that God planted in them before they were even born, and to really try to change the world one vision at a time.
Amen. That is so awesome. We truly have some awesome men of God that's with us, and we just cannot wait to get the discussion going. So back to you, Khalifia, so we can take us a little break.
We got some callers that's actually in the box. Was there any other guests that you had on the that were calling in, the other two pastors from the last show, were they calling in, Pam?
George Brown. Did George Brown call in?
Well, we have the call-in boxes full, so I don't know who's who.
Okay, well, he'll come in. We're gonna honor these two men of God, and they were first, and we want to just take it from there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Well, we will be going on a break now, Khalifia, or are we just going to go on with the discussion?
Just go ahead with the discussion, and then we'll take a break in a few minutes so we can go and get the discussion going, because we're at 2:14.
Okay, let's go on
then.
I'm so excited about what's happening. Let's talk about, and the question will be direct to you first, Minister Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think our men are running away from the church?
That's a great question. It's unfortunate that in many in many regions, this is a fact, that men are running away from the church. We were talking a bit before before we came on air, and I told you that I had three primary reasons that I wanted to lay on the table for discussion today. And we have, through experience and through some study, come up with at least these three reasons why people are, why men in particular, are running away from the church. The first one has to do with the historicity of the Western world and the United States, that the early part of the 20th century, turned into the 1900s or so, there was quite a bit of male influence in the church. Men were active in their homes and in their communities. But after the first, second World War, the Vietnam War, you had somewhat of a societal shift. While the men were away fighting battles, the churches and these types of organizations were left over and were run primarily at that time by a lot of female leaders. While they were absolutely necessary, and we're not taking anything away from that, it left a dynamic of the church that was different than it was before. And for some reason, we can almost point toward that period of the Vietnam War period, we see an absence of men, a continual decline in the absence of men that were involved in institutions like church and school, by you know, college, consequently. So this is perhaps a societal thing where we just, when they came back from war, things had changed. Church, the styles of music had changed. The way of worship had changed. And I think that has something to do with perhaps the turnoff for some men. It's somewhat societal. The other has to do with worship expressions, particularly in the African-American church. Or let me say church, ethnic churches, that our worship experience is has a tendency to be highly emotional. And we have noticed that men have a tendency to be less emotional, and they tend to shy away from things that are overly emotional. So when the scholarship and the academia left the body of Christ and we turned into a prophetic institution only versus a prophetic / academic institution, when we became prophetic only and there was less emphasis on the word of God and more emphasis on the mystical part of God, we our worship styles changed and they became more emotional in content. And if you've ever been to this kind of service, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you don't shout, if you don't scream, if you don't run around, then you have not praised the Lord. Then that's going to turn a certain sector of men away, because by and large we are not as emotional. So this idea of emotionalism that's not centered with the balance that men bring has turned some brothers away as well. And the final thing that I think is interesting, and perhaps even more poignant than all of the rest of them, is the idea of men in general not having the value of what manhood is about. Whatever that is, whether it's the absence of the man in the house, it is very difficult for an insecure man to give a lot of homage away to another man, even if that man is God. So when we sing songs like, you know, like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart, that God is everything, you know, that I love you more than anything, it takes a very secure man to say that he loves another man more than anything, even if that man is God. Sometimes we over-spiritualize it and forget the humanity of who men are. We are still men, and we want to be the king of the castle. And at the end of the day, when I've got to turn it over to God and give it away to God and tell God he's great, then I somehow become less than a man when I'm insecure. So it's social in that issue. We have to be careful how we characterize Jesus. We've characterized him as being this meek and soft and man. When Jesus was a carpenter, man, Jesus was a guy that yanked down cords and beat up on people, and he confronted. But we characterize him as being non-confrontational, this meek man that if you slap him, he's going to turn around and walk the other way and just pray for you. And that's not appealing to the average man that wants to step in his manhood and be a domineering or dominant person that can conquer territory and do things for God. So sometimes I just think we have to point to that Christ as well, the Christ that the men can identify with versus the one that our daughters and our wives will identify with only. So those are just three ideas to lay out on the table, and most of them are as social as they are spiritual. And I know that the devil plays with those things. The enemy will play with all of our social ills and turn them into spiritual problems, and consequently, our men aren't at church, and our men don't come as often as they should. And we continue as a church to try to placate and put Band-Aids on this problem by having bigger dinners, by having events that include motorcycles and, you know, and things like that. And I'm not saying that this is not necessary, but the bigger issue is not that there are no events for men. The bigger issue is that when men are feel devalued, or if there's no space made for the content of the way that the man was made and created, then he is going to shy away from it. And we have to institute that and give that back to men in the church.
That is awesome, great. Awesome. I like that.
Sam, let's take some calls really quick because people have been sitting here waiting. Let's just take some calls really quick, and then we'll take a break and allow Minister Marin to come on the air and speak on that. Thank you to Pastor Terrell. That was awesome. That was awesome. Then we're going to open it up for open discussion. We'll be going to the archive. But let's take some calls really quick. Caller 9000, are you there?
That's George.
Hello.
Caller 6751, are you there?
4886751.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you? God bless
hey.
You.
Good.
Good. Can you introduce yourself?
Is there something you like to say?
Well, I do agree on some of the things, a lot of things that he was saying about the emotional part of the service, that I do notice that in my church that men seem to kind of shy away from it being so, you know, emotional in service. But what can you do if you love the Lord and you women want to show their emotion, but men don't seem to understand that that's a part of being a woman, but a man should be there to hold us up, you know. Let us enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And I wish that they would feel comfortable in them being men so that they can be there to support the women's and to worship the Lord also.
Amen. Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, my name is Selena Gary. I'm from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Well, we thank you for coming on. We really do appreciate that. And do the men hear what she's saying? I mean,
can I make a comment on that?
Okay, come on.
This is Pastor Terrell again. Thank you for that. That was amazing. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely correct in your assertion. But what the point that I was trying to get is that we are human beings. We are emotional by nature. So there is a portion of us that includes the emotion, and we should touch God emotionally. It is a thing. It is not the only thing. And at times, we can tend to make that part of our worship service the main thing. And it's just one piece of the puzzle to the totality of what a man needs in order to build a connection with God. So, of course, I'm telling the guy, hey, man, reach out to God. Give him your best. Give God, you know, your heart, your mind, your emotions, everything that you are. If you want to cry, cry. If you feel like doing a holy dance, do it. However, that's still only one piece of the puzzle. And if it becomes too big of a slice of the pie, it's hard to swallow as men. So I do agree with you. I'm just also saying that there are other elements of the man psyche that we have to start to tap into on a Sunday morning as well.
Amen.
Call us 696-9921. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the preparation room.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Mariana Juliet. I'm calling all the way from Europe, from Bulgaria. It's nighttime here, so thanks for having me on.
It's a wonderful program.
Wow.
Yep, all the way from Bulgaria.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. You got a question for Pastor Terrell or Minister Ellis?
Actually, I was invited by Colitia to give you guys a special announcement. A friend of mine is launching a book today. It's called Catch Fire, How to Ignite Your Own Economy. And he's a guy that went through a natural gas explosion. And he's sharing how exactly he survived, not only survived that, but then thrived. And all this time he was... he wasn't worried about anything, nothing, not even money, nothing. He was able to set his own economy, and how he survived, how he did that, he's sharing in a book that's being released today. And I'm super excited because I'm helping him to become number one bestseller. And I just saw the statistic. He just hit number one bestseller in Amazon. And what
definitely
I want to share with
what
you.
What a story. Yes,
yeah.
What story he has to tell. So. I had invited her to come on and let you guys know that, just to continue to pray for her and, you know, and her partner, because he has a story to tell in his book. Not only is he doing it for himself, but he's doing it to share a story and going forth, because they're very spiritual based out there in Bulgaria. So, Marian, it was just absolutely a pleasure for you to call in. Definitely get some rest. And I'm going to have the information up on Bill Grow and Enjoy for all to listen to. But my continued blessings to you guys out there.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, thank you guys. So the site is Doug Nelson.
We will keep you in prayer. We will definitely keep you in prayer at the preparation room, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Okay, and Pam, you know, we got about 3 minutes of the show, so I'm trying to keep, you know, get people to say what they can on here, because we're going to run it over in the archive, and at that time, right before, you know, this live cuts off, I can go ahead and just take the calls, because they're going to be cut off with that. They'll have to listen in for the archive, but
okay.
We can get Marin on the air, so that way he can continue
okay.
to speak, and we can continue to speak with Pastor Terrell. So I'm going to take a few more calls. Let's see this one right here. Caller 598-3034. Are you there, caller? Like a lot of them. Okay. Caller
424-5773. How you doing?
We know this voice.
How
hey,
you doing?
Hello, Mr. James. How are you?
Hey, today, isn't today y'all's anniversary?
Yes, it is.
And I hear Madam Jenkins having fun in the background. Y'all having a blessed day, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Definitely.
Yes,
it's a good day to be alive, is it not?
Yes, it is. We thank you so much for calling,
I'm going to be quick. I'm going to say
so
God bless, and y'all have fun.
Okay,
thank you so much.
And God bless you, too.
Caller 9900165, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the preparation room.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is George Brown. I'm from Powder Springs, Georgia.
Hey! How you doing, man of God?
Oh, I'm doing great. And yourself?
You're doing great. Can you tell us a little bit about how you just want to praise and worship God here at the preparation room?
I want to praise God and worship Him. And if there was a verb that can describe how much I love Him, I would say it right now. And it was maybe 5 months ago to this day when I had experienced a massive stroke and almost died. So I can't thank him enough just to be able to be on with you guys today.
Thank you. That's Galithia. That's my son-in-law, George Brown, that I've been here with. And we plead the blood of Jesus over him. And they said he wasn't going to never do this or do that, walk, talk, or live, or whatever. But right now he's just here at the preparation room praising God right now. So we thank you, George, for calling on the phone and being obedient to God and letting God use you. And I love you so much.
Right, and I love you as well. I mean, that's the least I can do for him. He's done so much for me.
Amen. I just wanted to let everyone know that, you know, they, you know, the line is already off now, but I was trying to let everybody know they can continue to pick it up in the archives. But let's go ahead and take a quick break, and I can and then I want to get Minister Ellis to be able to say some stuff and get Pastor Terrell to back up. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pamela Reese, Wortlaw at the Preparation Room. Join us every first Tuesday of the month with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, preparing the way for the Lord. Tune in. We've got a lot to talk about.
And we are back, everyone. We have the Preparation Room with Ms. Pamela Reese, who will have special guest, Minister Ellis, Pastor Terrell Fletcher here in San Diego, California, where I'm at, City of Hope International, making the connection. So, Pamela, it's on to you. You know, I just want, we got callers all in the box. You just let me know when. This is a discussion well, just, you know, that people want to discuss it. You know, let's just let it run. So let's get it on.
Thank you, Kalithia. It's just a pleasure today. It's such a blessed day. Minister Ellis, yes. I've been waiting to hear from you.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, man of God. Now, I want to have your input on why do you think Amens are running away from the church?
Okay. You know, a lot of it is very similar to what Pastor Terrell was mentioning. My viewpoint is probably more of a more individualistic standpoint. First off, in regards to men, most men are prideful creatures. We hold dear to our pride. And that being said, like Pastor Terrell said, it's really tough for a man to kind of give homage to another man, to fully love another man in any sort of way. And it requires some downplay of our pride when it comes to any form of religion and dealing with God. So I think a lot of men struggle with that. And a lot of that's going to also come from the fact of knowing truly who God is to you as a person. As a man, when you realize that God created man first and the responsibility that God has put on man, and you realize that a lot of ways you do understand that God truly loves you and how you need to be able to love him back. And then, too, I do think that a lot of it stems from whenever we do come to church, a lot of it's not for the reason of us getting to know God a lot of times. For instance, personal example, I was saved, but I didn't go to church to hear a word. I went to church for another reason. I just happened to hear a word that led me into a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of ways, if you're not going to church for the necessarily the right reasons or the right mindset, unless the Spirit moves you, you're not going to be going for that reason, and then consistency is going to then be downplayed, if you understand what I'm saying. In regards to going on a continual basis or even serving in the church. If you're not going for the right reason, they're not even going to a lot of times see the need to serve and to lead in the church as well.
Well, do you think a lot of men go to church just to see a beautiful woman, a saved woman, you know? Or I'm keeping it real. Do you think a lot of our men just go to church sometime when they're just so tired of the club and they just pick up church? And they're not really just going to just build a relationship with God. Do you think that is true?
I know it happens. I know it happens. And I'll admit that at one point in time, that was me. And it's a common joke that, you know, if you want to find a good woman, go to church. But then a lot of men also got to realize that if a woman's looking for a man at the church, he wants a man that knows God. So.
Yeah.
Again, so I won't disagree with that statement because I'd be lying on myself if I did.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It does happen, yes.
Amen, amen. So that is so great just to hear pretty much
what you and Pastor Terrell just said, it pretty much just summed up that topic for now. But now I want to ask you this real quick before our time run out. What is it going to take for our men to come back, not only to the church but to God? What do you think it would take? Because I believe that God is calling. Well, I know because he spoke to my spirit. Tell my men I want them back. And a lot of times when I'm on Facebook or wherever, I'm talking to a man or whatever, even when I was talking to you, Minister Terrell, he always told me to tell them that I love him. I love my men so much. He loved men so much. I mean, as I'm talking about it now, it's just bringing just chills to my body. He loved the men so much, and he just feels so betrayed because they turned their back on him. It's like a rejection. And you know how you feel with rejection when a woman don't want to be bothered with you? You know, that's a rejection theory. I believe that our fathers sometimes feel rejected from this. So if it takes me to just talk on this phone right now and you know, from the Spirit of God, what do we need to do to bring our men back? He's calling us back, men. He's calling you men back. What will it take?
I'm running through my computer, and I'm looking up some statistics that I had from a message I preached about a year or so ago. And when a child gets saved in a house that's unsaved, there's a 14% chance that everybody else in the house will get saved. When a woman gets saved in a house, there's a 52% chance that everybody else in the house will get saved. And when a man gets saved, there's a 96% chance that everybody else in the house will get saved. What does that mean? That means that everybody underneath their sphere of influence has a better chance of being saved and brought back to the Lord. And that's important for us to take and look at those statistics. Because the enemy understands that he can minimize the salvation of people and family if he can detract, distract, and move the man off his space and off his mark. So I think it's simple. I think the church has to prioritize men. We have to find what moves us, what hurts us, what makes us laugh, what challenges us, what pushes us, and we have to get back to pushing that agenda. It was interesting that the first thing that God gave Adam before he gave him a woman was a job. He told him to go into the garden. The sister read it this morning, the scriptures. He told him to go into the garden and to till the land, and he showed him that his usefulness to the kingdom of God had to do with his ability to go and create and to build and to conquer that way. And if we can, as a church, continue to challenge men to see that the kingdom of God is out there waiting for us to jump in, to till it, to challenge it, to watch it grow, then we can have dominance in that area instead of dominating women and dominating children and dominating how many nights we can spend at the clubs or how many drinks we can drink in the night. But we can dominate true agenda. So it's going to take a refocusing of effort of the church to find out what's at the heart of men, because what's at the heart of men is going to help draw. When we can start hitting those things, we can start to draw them back, draw brothers back to church, because God loves us men just as much as he loves our saved wives and our saved sisters.
Yeah.
He loves us just as much as he loves our saved children. And he wants relationship with us in the same fashion. But you approach men differently than you approach women, and you approach women differently than you approach children. And we have to start getting back to not being afraid to challenge our brothers, to speak directly to their issues and to their pain, to tell brothers, man, I get it. You know, there's so much pride in our pulpits. Well, as pastors, we got to let these brothers know, man, I know what it's like to have my wife angry at me. I know what it's like to have lost a job. I understand what it's like to have had goals and fail, because these are the things that men bother. And when we can be transparent behind the pulpit instead of somewhat placating, acting like God has worked everything out, and he already has, but we haven't walked into everything he's worked out yet. But we can be real and say, this is where true issues are. Brothers identify with that. They identify with that kind of struggle, that kind of pain, that kind of rejection, that kind of loss, that kind of feeling of shame and insignificance. We can pump life back into them in that way. We will see brothers start to rebuild their relationship, not just with God, but I also believe with their wives and with their children as well. Adam had purpose, and when Adam was given his purpose, he fared very well with his wife. When he got knocked off purpose, he blamed her. The first thing that happened after sin, God said, "What happened to you, Adam?" He said, "The woman you gave me." He began to blame her. And this is what you see it taking place in our communities now. We are blaming our baby's mama or blaming our wife for not supporting us, or blaming our children for not coming home. But it's because we've been knocked off purpose. So we get the brothers and we get our purpose back, and we point us in a godly direction and help us to see how intricate we are to the plan of God for the kingdom and for the family. And I believe that if we can equip brothers in that manner, show us that we fit, that we can get brothers to come and get brothers to stick and stay, because we love responsibility. We love responsibility.
Amen. Wow. Amen. I like that. Well,
girl.
You're doing it. Amen. That is so awesome. And I know, we got to continue to feel this way and continue to speak this thing and continue to bring the men back, you know, and prepare the way for the Lord, because the time is near. The time is near. So we need and help prepare the way for the Lord. So I want to give Minister Ellis a chance to tell me, how do you think that we could find a way to bring the young men back? Because you're one of our young men that's coming forth for the call that God is calling nowadays. What do you think it would take?
When you asked that question, the first thing that came back to me was the scripture in which they were saying, iron sharpens iron. I think that is the fundamental strategy. I think it's going to take the men of God to go out and reach out and to be an example to the younger men or men in general, to let them know that being a man of God does not make you less of a man. In all cases, it actually makes you more of a man. We really need to spend time with the men in the church, men spending time with the men in the church, share our struggles, like Pastor said, share our concerns, have a man to be an accountability partner to you, a man you could call when you feel weak. You know, we could do it in every other aspect of sports. We could do it in school. We could do it all these things. But for whatever reason, when we get to the church, we think we could do it by ourselves. And we're not fighting the enemy, meaning we're not fighting Satan on the football field, but we are fighting Satan in the church. And he's probably the biggest enemy that we could have, and we need to be able to have another man. And the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there he will be. So if you have two men sitting there fighting against Satan, that God is going to be there, and you want him on your side more than anybody else. I think it all revolves around the accountability and having iron sharpening iron and going forth from there.
Amen. Amen. Well, God is so good, I tell you. He is so good. I mean, to even have you men of God to come forth and being so bold to even speak the way that you're speaking, it's just an awesome thing. And just to sum up what we were saying, I mean, you summed it right up. You really, truly summed it right up. But one of the other things, since we're talking about men coming forth and coming back to God, what about our young men? What about our young men that's dying on the street? The blood is being shed on the street constantly. Our young black men, not our young Asian men, not our young Spanish men, not our young Caucasian men, our young black men. We need help with that. What do you think, since we went over, what do you think that we could do to stop all this or to bring our young youth back? Minister Terrell.
Okay, I was about to say, which one? I think we both are jumping at the bit for this one. So much of this is as societal as it is theological, okay? So, and that's why I love Jesus so much, because he also preached a spiritually, socially conscious gospel. Jesus didn't get you to heaven and then have you totally broken when you got there. He tried to teach righteousness, teach justice, and all of these things that would be applicable while we're here on earth. And this is important that we understand. Our children will take claim in their own lives when our parents take claim in their lives. You cannot give what you don't have. If you try, if I, as a parent, devalue life, if I, as a parent, have a low perspective on education, accountability, faith, and religion, I will transfer as a legacy to my children this. And it will take the grace of God, and it will take outside influences to have them gain something that their parental oversight didn't give them. So it's going to be important at a lot of different levels, at certain different levels, that, man, if we can grab these brothers, men, I'm talking about fathers first, I'm talking about men that have birthed children, and whatever relationship they are with the mother, get them to understand their worth and their value for the continuum of society, so that they would spend time with their children, spend money on their children, help them value education, value spirituality, value their walk with Christ, then we can see the return on this. My old pastor used to say, more is caught than what's taught. In other words, we can teach it till we're blue in the face, but our children are going to do what they see done. They're going to catch it versus being taught it. They're going to see done. So when they see mom and dad pray, or when they see mom and dad sit down and read a book instead of popping on the housewives every day, when they see this, they will begin to pick up a value for it in their lives. We have to challenge parents, man, that we've got to start to put the brakes on the way we've been doing life, because we are the primary example. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do and what I've seen my Father do. That's all he did. He was our perfect example. Why? Because he followed the Father. He said, I do what my Father does, and I do what he tells me to do. I only perform what I've seen him perform. And our children, we're the same way. You can look at your life and realize how much like your mother or your father you are. People look at me all the time and say, man, you're just like your dad, because you catch it. You catch it when you see it. So we as parents have to be challenged. And when we're parents and we are challenged, then I give you a great example, and I'll let Minister Ellis speak. I told my sister when she got married, I said, listen, this is what you do when you get married. I said, you buy like the paints, and you buy like the paintings on the wall and the drapes and stuff like that. And I said, and you let your husband buy the TV, the couch, the car, and the big stuff. And she laughed. She said, we're in this together. I said, yeah, but he's more prone to leave than a man is more prone to leave than a woman is. And if he invests in you, it's harder for him to pack up and leave when he looks and say, but this is my TV and my couch and my car and all of this stuff is a tattoo. I said, when he invests in you, it's hard for him to just take away and pack up and leave with no big deal. And this is the same way with our children. When we have them but don't invest in them, it's easy to just pack up and leave and not call them on their birthdays and not come around. But if we can challenge men to stick around, pay for the school, put money on the clothes, be there emotionally. It's hard to leave something you've invested in. And it's a societal problem, but it is also a spiritual problem. And in my opinion, that is one of the ways, one of the lead ways that we can get back our children, is by just spending that time investing in them as parents, as community leaders, as coaches, or what have you. Hold them accountable for who they are, and we can see a return on our children.
Amen. Minister Ellis?
Yes, another thing the Bible says is out of the mouth of babes. You know, Jesus was a huge advocate for children, and compared a lot of the kingdom of God to children and being like children. One of the things that a child has is he has imagination. And even at a young age, a lot of times a child will have a purpose and a vision. It's life that ends up taking that away from him or her. I think that if, again, as going back to the iron sharpens iron, if we actually build that vision instead of degrading that vision in a child. And I mean the vision that God has given that child, that young man, to be, instead of letting the world recondition that vision and flip it into something that's negative, I think then the young men will not only stay in, become back in, but they'll stay in. Because
yeah.
There's a purpose. They have to, like Pastor said, they have to invest. In order to have a vision, you have to invest. I can't say I want to do something and don't spend the time doing it or spend the time thinking about it or put aside money to do it. Because you will then just drop it at the drop of a hat. But if you instill that vision in that young child, he will feel a oneness with God because it's a vision that God gave him. No other man gave it to him. It's a vision that God gave him. And he'll feel that accountability to God, not to another man. He will feel that accountability to himself. And if you do that, he won't make the decisions as much about going out into the street and putting his life on the line, or, you know, taking these drugs, or even go down to the woman that he chooses to spend the rest of his life with, because then he'll choose based on the vision, not based on what his eyes see, but based on what God sees in her. And then he'll continue to perform. And trust me, based off of some mistakes that I've made in my life, I can tell you firsthand experience. When you have a vision, things begin to move forward. The Bible says people without a vision perish. They start to not necessarily die, but they start to go wayward. They start to do stuff without a purpose. And that is like a slow death.
Mm.
So that's the thing we need to do with the youth, is build up that vision that they have and go forward.
That is so good. That is so good. One of the things is I appreciate what you're saying, but as you can see, and it comes down to it's a mess. It's a mess out here with our young men and our male, and it's such an urgent call. It's an urgent call because we got to get the dads back first. I was reading in the Bible that in Malachi, God had gave me a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, and it stuck to me. And that's, I have a thing for males. I have two young males myself, and the father passed away, but the father stuck with us until the end. But I also always had a thing about males, but he's been dealing with me with male because I know he loved him so much, and I'm just obedient to my father. But he gave me this word that stuck with me with Malachi 4, the last chapter, 5. It said, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." He said, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Do you think that happened? Do you think that happened already, man of God?
That's an interesting perspective. As a pastor, you know, our job is to continually instill this idea of hope. And we believe that as we stand in the gap, we hold off the wrath of heaven sometimes. And I'm believing God. And again, like I said, I don't know the answer to that. But what I do believe is that I believe that God has not turned his back on these young men. I don't believe that God has shut up the blessings of heaven. I don't believe that he has locked down their hope. I believe that what we see is a result of the exact topic that we've been talking about. It is the result of absent men that have been displaced for whatever reason. It doesn't even matter what the reason is. The reality is that we have to get back so that our heart can be for our children and their children, their hearts can be for us. And I stand with the young man on the corner. See, here's one thing I was thinking while Brother Marin was speaking. See, as a man, it's my job to teach my son how to hunt. He has a warrior spirit in him, and he wants to be dominant over something. And if another person that doesn't understand what that's like comes and guides that, they're liable to guide it in the wrong direction. So the best chance of my son being a good hunter is when another more experienced hunter can come and show him how to hunt. Because our boys are hunters, but they hunt in the wrong stuff. They hunt women. They're hunting each other in the street. They're conquering stuff, but they're not conquering the right things. But a more mature man who has succeeded and failed and succeeded again, who has seen the grace of God and the wrath of God, who has had some victories and had some things that he's fallen prey to, when he can come and say, son, let me show you how to hunt. You hunt business. You hunt your career. You hunt the world. You hunt people that are lost and get them back saved. This is what you use that warrior spirit like. You don't hunt women just to say you've been with 25 women this year. You know, you don't hunt things illegally. So if we can challenge our brothers and have the mature brothers stand in and teach our young brothers how to hunt, get them off the streets, and show them that the same energy that you're putting to be a drug dealer or that you're putting to run women or that you're putting to be a club person, if you can take that same energy and direct it towards something productive, God can get some glory out of your life, man. And that's what God wants. And that's what we want for you, and we're here to help you do that. So, you know, so as a pastor, man, I'm preaching hope, the confident expectation. The Bible said Jesus Christ is our hope and glory, that the confident expectation for all of these brothers is that God will land them on hands that mean to do them good and not do them harm, that will help them get the help that they need. And I know sometimes I've been there. I was a youth pastor for 4 years before I became a senior pastor, and it can be downright disheartening to see what took place. It can be downright hurtful to see how some of the situations that these young men are in, and sometimes you can look at them in their face and it's just a glaze, and you just know that the enemy is at work on our young people. Man, there is a power that can break that stronghold off of our young people, and it comes through the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and he needs bold women and strong men that will stand up in that authority and power and claim our kids and take them and challenge them and tell them that they're loved and show them that love by pointing them in the right direction for their life and be consistent with that. And I do believe we've seen too many turnarounds. We've seen too many turnarounds. But it's just like the Bible say, the harvest is very plentiful. But the laborers, the people that want to do the job, are few.
Well, I'm going back to Malachi 5 again. That just stuck with me. I want to address this to you or Minister Alice. He said, behold.
Pam, before you do that, Pam, I'm sorry. Before you do that, let's take a quick break. I've extended the show, so I figured it out. That's why we've been able to go so long. So we got another 30 minutes on the books. But let me go ahead and just take a quick break so we can kind of transition. There's been people sitting in the queue, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
Now, we are back. This is just a blessing. The second break, Ms. Pamela Reese Warlock from the Preparation with special guest Minister Ellis and Pastor Terrell Fletcher, City of Hope International, making the connection. So I'm going to take a quick caller. There's been some callers that's been sitting in the queue, and I know they have some things to say before we continue this discussion about men and their faith, which is very touching to others. So let's just take some calls, and then Pamela will be right back to you.
Okay.
Hi, caller 300-2592. Are you there?
Hello? Hello? Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I think this is me. I didn't know I'd be on. This is my first time being on, and this is great.
Well, welcome. Well, welcome to the preparation room.
Yes. Well, my name's My name is Cassandra, and I'm calling from San Diego, California. I was introduced by Polizia from Power Monday. So hearing the pastor speak, wow, this is a tremendous show, and appreciate Kalipia for inviting me on. So, wow, it's great to hear both pastors talk about our young men. I'll tell you, it is a situation I imagine in every city. I work in a counseling field, and to see our young young men struggling, it's great to hear our black men and pastors speaking so positively about the Lord and bringing it to them. So I hope more are listening to this station. It's been wonderful. Thank you again.
Awesome. Well, Cassandra, you were supposed to call in, you know, I guess we had some mishaps, so, you know, kind of let everyone know what you're doing throughout the community, like you said, with the youth and the people you work with in the community, because you're doing powerful things also. Can you just quickly let everybody know about that?
Well, I work with a company called Tag Team Marketing, and we work with black businesses and black products and services. But one of our big area is really getting our young men in particular that are looking at working and doing business for themselves and bringing in income for their family to be able to market these products and services. So we have a wonderful product and program that they can join in and be a member of, and supporting our black businesses throughout the country. So, that's what I'm doing and loving it. So it's a great opportunity for many to be able to make some extra income, you know, and bring to the family and be able to do and support their family like they wanted to in a legal way, if you will.
Amen. My continued blessing to you, Cassandra, and it was a pleasure actually meeting you at Power Mondays. You know, William Bertis is a very deeply spiritual person too, and he tunes in. So I'm just glad that the connection was able to be made, and you know, Pastor Terrell is here. So make sure you get the City of Hope if you haven't, and go check out Minister Ellis and Pastor Terrell, because they are on fire there. So make sure you get over there, okay?
Okay. How do I do that? Like I said, this is my first time on, so how do I?
You can go to Bill Grown and Joy, and Pastor Terrell's and Minister Ellis' information is on BillGrownAndJoy.com. Just click in the guest information, and you'll see their information on there, and you can go from there.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
Okay.
And thank you,
Pastor,
for coming to the preparation room.
Oh, thank you.
And there you go. You can go ahead and just continue this discussion. We got about 26 minutes. I'm going to be about 3 to close, but we can continue this discussion. This is awesome.
Okay. Thank you, Kalifia. God bless you. Well, I want to address this. I'm back to Malachi 4, 5. It said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and dreadful days." One of the things that the day of the Lord. One of the things I want to ask you, do you think that Elijah the prophet is here? And do you think that these are the dreadful days of the Lord?
When you say, I'm going to ask you for a little bit more clarification. When you say Elijah the prophet, are you speaking specifically of Elijah in the sense of the end times, where some people feel like Elijah and Moses or Moses will be back on the earth, or are you speaking a type of Elijah?
Well, one of the things, I'm just going with the King James Version, and the type, what I'm speaking of, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and dreadful days of the Lord." And again, I think what I'm trying to say is, it's the prophet of this time. You know, because there's a time. You know, that was back in the daytime. Now is the time. The time prophet, the end time prophet time and season. Do you think he's here? And do you think these are the dreadful days of the Lord? What's going on?
Well, eschatologically speaking, I do believe that we have reached a unique period in the world calendar, okay? And I'm not saying this just because of what's taking place in the Western world with our boys, but just at a global perspective. If we watch the global perspective, I was sharing a little bit Sunday about the uniqueness of the idea of there being a world conversation concerning the gold standard and what that would do to the wealth, the transfer of the wealth in the world if we went back to a gold standard versus the American dollar as the world currency, and how that would shift immediately the world currency or the world wealth from the Western world into Africa, because they home the majority of the world's gold. So when I look at these types of things, then yes, I'm not a follower of the end times in that sense, but I do keep my eye prophetically on the word of God and on the movements of the world. And I do think that we are ushered into a last day, if I can speak of that. And how important is it that a type of Elijah step up and talk truthfully about the perils of the world, that salvation is here and salvation is near? It's imperative right now that voice or those voices that are in the spirit of Elijah would step up and do that, because if we are not in the end day, we are closer to the end day than we have ever been at any point in time of the history of the world that we live in. That's a loaded question, but the days are difficult, and we cannot deny that. Our days are certainly difficult. Our days are unique. We have not seen these days in our generation ever. And we are the generation now that's bearing the brunt of it. The last time we saw this type of recession, you know, I was in middle school, high school. So, I didn't bear the brunt of the recession. I just kind of ate what was on the table. But now we feel it in our businesses, in our churches, in our homes. We have to be a part of the conversation for the solution. So the days are unique and dreadful, yes. And yes, we need everybody that God has challenged to speak up and to speak the truth in plain jargon, not in church jargon, in plain jargon, that the world might understand and might know that we have a Savior that is serious about his commitment to his people, but he's also serious about their commitment back to him. And these will only get worse if we don't come to some understanding that Jesus is Lord and he is the only way to true salvation, both here on earth and in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to go to 6, verse 6. Now, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Do you think that might be us as ministers and pastors, or do you think it's going to be a specific person? He said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, this person that he's sending have to be someone really in leadership, right?
You're asking, I don't want to start getting out of my pay grade, okay? But what
well,
I am
sorry for making you feel uncomfortable, but.
No. The Bible is my life now, so I get it. The thing about Malachi 4 is God is always interested in maintaining his word and his covenant with his people, okay? And this is what we're seeing as it relates to Malachi 4. And if you read the first couple of verses, I had to pull out my Bible. You made me go get my Bible. but if you read these first two verses, we are certain that this has to do with the coming of Christ, his first and second coming. And we know that it's a fixed time, it's a fixed day, and the people of God the people that are against God, they need to be fearful. But God also has never given up on his covenant with his people. And we can go back to the entire history of Israel, before God judged, he sent the prophets, he sent a voice, he sent somebody to go and remind the people and to warn the people that wrath is near, that the day of judgment is near, and that God wants to save them. When that happens, we've seen a portion of the people say yes and amen, but we also saw a portion reject it and laugh at it. So we are, but, you know, do I think that the quote-unquote Elijah, the singular individual, is that what we're looking for in our day? I don't know if that's where he's going with that. I think that the idea of the spirit of Elijah, and yes, it will have to be people that have influence, wherever that influence is. I don't know if it's the president's office or the pastors in the pulpits, but but it's people with influence. I become the Elijah to my community. You become the Elijah to your community. You know, you're the speaker of truth, the one that reminds people that God has not forgotten them, and God never gives up on his covenant. And if you receive him now, things can change in your life through his power and through your work, your efforts. And so we become the Elijahs in that manner. That was obviously literal for the children of Israel in that moment. He was letting them know that Elijah was going to come and he was going to speak to them. But it's also prophetic for our day today that in the spirit of Elijah, there are men and women that will rise up in spheres of influence. And people are going to listen to them now. Listen to what I'm saying. People are going to listen to your voice. They're going to want to know what you have to say. And we might not be billionaire business owners. We might not be governors. We may not be pastors of mega churches. But for some reason, people wanted to hear what Elijah had to say. And people are going to hear what these men and women have to say. And God is going to use them to speak to a generation of people. And, yes, some people's hearts will be turned back to their rightful places, fathers to their sons back to their fathers. But there are also going to be people that are going to reject it and laugh at us and say, man, you guys are way over the top with this thing. It's never going to happen. So, you know, it again, it has both literal and prophetic utterance to it. It was literal to the children of Israel in that moment and in that time. God was trying to speak to them about what was about to literally take place, and Elijah was going to literally be that person, but also prophetically to us. He's speaking to a future generation. That is us. I believe that's us. Speaking to us. And he's raising up voices. He's raising up Elijahs. He's raising up great, great voices. And I'd like to believe and hope that he would actually want to use me one day. So he's definitely using you ladies. So
I think he's using you right now. I think it have happened because you're saying some awesome things, and it's from the Spirit of God. So, you know, I just thank God for such a mighty man of God at this time, just coming forth at this time. And I truly believe that this day, you know, day four, November the 1st, that our life will never be the same again, you know, as we go on forth video and birthing something in the atmosphere. That, you know, Satan is the prince of the air, you know, and by we going forth the way that we going forth and God using you at this time, man of God, it's just truly an awesome thing. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over you as you go forth for the glory.
In the name of Jesus, I receive it.
Yeah.
And Pam, I wanted to add something to what you were saying and what Pastor was saying.
Okay.
In regards to what Pastor was saying about it being something that we're to add, I guess, these days, as far as men or women who are called to, you know, evangelize. If you look at John 16:23, Jesus was making a promise, and he said, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. That task of being that person under that Elijah is a heavy task. It is something where you're going to have a lot of people coming against you, as Pastor said. It's not to be taken lightly. And I think a lot of people might even shun away from it because of that, knowing where it's going to go. But the evidence is in the fact that Jesus said that you ask anything in my name, it'll be given to you. And that's where we are now. You yourself with the preparation room, you know, Pastor Terrell, City of Hope International, and myself and my endeavors, we're making a connection. We do have to realize that we have the full army of God behind us. We have the full power of God behind us, and he's just waiting for us to ask because we're asking in his name. So for us to not be scared, to not be fearful, for us not to be frightful and just move forward in God's speed on this.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And don't forget about Bill Brown and Joy, Mr. Ellis.
Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, you're there, Pam.
Okay. That is awesome, man of God. That is awesome. No, we can't forget about Bill growing in joy. Never, Talitha.
Never that.
That is just awesome, what you're saying, but I just decree in the name of Jesus. Talitha, do we have time to decree some things?
Yeah, we got about, let's say, I'm going to need 5 minutes to call, so we got about, I would say, about 8 minutes.
Okay. We just got to decree some things as we close out in the preparation room with us ministers. And Minister Terrell, I'm going to take a minute, and maybe you could take a minute. And Minister Ellis, maybe you could take a minute and decree some things, and it will be so in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
But Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our life just transforming and it'll never be the same again. I decree in the name of Jesus that we will go forth for the glory of God. I decree that we will repent. I decree that the nation will repent in the name of Jesus. I decree that healing will come over this universe in the name of Jesus. And we will prepare the way for the Lord. I decree that anybody that's trying to form against any of us that's on this line, in the name of Jesus, that it will not prosper. And I plead the blood of Jesus over our life. And it is so. Now the line is to you, Minister Terrell.
Father, I bless you, and I stand in agreement with all that has been spoken, has been said. And Lord, what I do decree today is that the spirit of Elijah would rise up in every leader that you've challenged. Father, that we're not shunned from this conversation, we're not shunned from the task, but that your power would rise up in us all over this nation. Father, I decree that we would broaden the context of our conversation and not be so singularly focused on ourselves and our own needs, of the needs of the world, for you're not a God that die just for the American, or just for the black child, but you die for every person in this world that they might be saved. Father, I pray and I decree now that our businesses will prosper, our churches will prosper, that families would prosper. Father, I pray for our nation and our leaders and our pastors and our presidents and our governors, God, that they would deal rightfully with your people all over this world, Father. I pray for the nations of the world. You said that there were healing in the leaves of the trees that covered the nations. So, Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bring healing to your people all over this world now. Let us rise up and usher in the end time revival that will bring the glory of God from heaven into the earth like you declared it would be. And in this, Lord, I give you the praise, and let it be so.
Amen. Line to you, Minister Ellis.
All right. Well, Father God, I definitely come to you, first off, giving you thanks for this day. Father, we thank you for just having this voice, these voices come out. We thank you for the ears that hear this message. Father, I decree the revelation to the world of your kingdom, Father. I decree that people see your vision that you have for them in their life, Father. You said you knew us before we were conceived. Father, I pray that people realize that the vision that you have given them is for a greater purpose. Father, I decree that our men and our women develop that purpose, Father. I decree that we continue to build that purpose on a daily manner, Father. Father, I ask that you put men and women on fire. I decree that you put them on fire, Father, because you said you would rather us be hot or cold, but let us not be lukewarm or you will spit us out, Father. So I ask that we make a decision to live for you, Father, and continue to do so, so that the kingdom, your kingdom, will be ushered in, and not just after you come back, Father, but even now, because you brought us here to rule and domain over the earth, Father. There is power in that decree that you have given us, and power in that purpose that you have given us. So I ask that we just realize that
and continue to move forward in that purpose, Father.
Yes, God.
And it is so. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now the line's back to you, Kalithia.
Well, what a show that was, Pam. You know, I had to go put my bottle away because you done made me go get my bottle, too.
I hope y'all didn't hear me flipping around. I was flipping around.
But I just want to thank you, Pastor Terrell and Minister Ellis. You know, you men of God, you guys are just a blessing to so many. You know, I saw you pastoring at your church, Pastor Terrell, and I was kind of in the back just looking at everyone, and the Spirit is definitely with you guys. And I just want to say you guys make a difference. I will be back to visit, but thank you for coming on the air today and my continued blessings to you guys going forward.
And I love you all. I love all of you.
Love you both. Love you all. And thank you guys for the opportunity. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, there you guys have it. I know we went over on the show, but this is one show I could not stop. It had to keep going. So definitely go check out Pastor Terrell Fletcher with City of Hope International and Minister Ellis. Definitely with making the connection. Both of their information is all over Build, Grow, and Enjoy guest group, and making the connection is actually on the front page also. So my continued blessings to everyone going forth, and definitely make sure you guys go check out Working Divas, because that is back up and running. I know we're having some glitches, but it's back up and running. WorkingDivas.com got a great article on there for you guys. What will we be charged next? Sincerely, your bank. So definitely get over there and check out, because the banks are about to make the changes and it is going to hit your pocket. Make sure you guys get over to my lovely, lovely friend, Peter Pasternak from Flip This House. He has a networking event up and coming this November the 3rd, you know, the Real Estate Connection out in Atlanta, one of the most prestigious networking event. So definitely get out there. More information on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. And Miss Julietta calling in from Bulgaria. She didn't get a chance to say her website, and this is going to be on the forums on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. And definitely check her out with her and her group that's over there in Bulgaria, Catch Fire, How to Ignite Your Own Economy, which is a great book, because you know now it's about creating your own opportunity, because nobody's going to give it to you. There's no jobs out there, so you have to create your own opportunity. But definitely get over there and check her out, www.douglasscottnelson.com. And like I said, this information will be up in the forums. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back on the air tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. You guys know tax season is up and coming, so the Snelling Report will be on Build, Grow, and Enjoy for 3 segments to lead you guys and prepare you guys for the upcoming tax season. So as you guys can see, the movement is alive, and I want to send all my continued blessings to all of you guys. Have a great, wonderful day, and enjoy.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things, positive actions lead to positive results.